Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning, Lord, to hear, to receive your word, to open ourselves up to what you say to us and what, Lord, you want us to hear. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth and empower us to be able to overcome. We just praise you and thank you for everything you have done. And acknowledge, Lord, that as we come to you, Lord, you are there to minister to us your truth, your life, your direction, your power. Thank you for everything. Minister to each person is here today to be able to receive, hear, and apply it to your life, their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. See, God's actually created us to have a relationship with us. And I'm really kind of fixated on that idea because it's such an important thing to do and it transforms us. That's the way we receive. It's not just at the mind of the level of the mind. It's much deeper than that. It's at the level of our heart. That's where God works. And we have been seeing, you know, that God wants to connect with us even more than we want to connect with him. That's what he created for, so that we can connect, be connected with him and receive. We have to understand that. And we have to learn to do that all the time. You know, we talked about the verse in Thessalonians as, you know, to be, you know, connecting without ceasing, to be praying without ceasing. Okay, the idea is that we can always be connected with that, no matter what our situation is. You know, if we are happy, then we can be to him to rejoice and to be glad and to connect with him and be thankful. Okay, when we are in trouble, then is the time we have to go even better, because then we need correction, we need direction, we need the wisdom, we need strength, and we need, you know, to comfort us sometime. And he's always there to do these things. So no matter what, you know, we should not be caught up by what's going on around us, but we should be more caught up in what's going on inside us. Because that one makes the difference what happened around us. Praise the Lord. Okay. And if you are, you know, a doubter or an unbeliever, you have more, even more reason to go to him, because he wants to. He loves you and wants to connect with you. So there is no any excuse not to be connecting with him. Praise the Lord. See. And last Thursday, actually, you know, we did a study on Romans chapter 5. That, you know, it's a great chapter. It's so powerful. And some of the things I'm going to share today, because they're so, so helpful for us to understand, you know, are empowering us, okay? And, you know, for us to understand God's nature, and God, the way God wants to work with us, is where, you know, we have the breakthroughs, okay? And there are two elements there, you know, is connection and obedience. Those two are really related to each other. And when we understand how they function and how, you know, everything goes better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, one of the blockages, if you want, one of the hindrances to actually have that connection is that when we do not understand God's nature in some areas, okay, the way he works in us. And I hope that I'm going to expand on some things that I started already talking about it before, but in such a way that you really grasp that. Okay, one of the words that is has a strong emotional content that is negative for most people is the idea of judgment, God's judgment. And I want to demolish that negativity in it, because it's everything but negative. Okay, if we understand. You see, there is a big difference between Satan's judgment of you and God's judgment of you. Okay, it's completely different. You know, Satan, the only thing he wants to do is to accuse you, to damage your relationship with God, to make you feel bad, and to, you know, make you suffer with him. There is nothing positive there in that judgment. But not as though with the God judgment. God judgment for you, okay, it comes from his position. He's your creator. No matter what, if you are born again, you are actually more than his creation. You are his son. So he's a father to you. Okay. And, you know, in all cases, doesn't matter if you are born again or not, he wants to connect with you and to bless you and to have a relationship with you. And that's the why and the way he work, he minister to you. But if you don't understand the way he act and work, then you are not going to be able to make that connection really well. And sometimes you're going to do, sometimes you're going to use because of the circumstances you're in. Okay. You know, God's judgment is, especially in this New Testament period of grace, is not wrath or punishment, but is your good, for your good. Okay, to train you, to instruct you, to correct you, to help you to overcome your situations. This is your motive, your goal, his goal. Okay. That's why he sent Jesus, so that you would be able to do that in a way that was impossible before. Okay. Taking Romans chapter 5 that I mentioned, was mentioning before, you know, says, therefore, then when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Cool. So you see, he loves the ungodly and he sent Jesus to die for them. Okay. But God demonstrated, says in verse 8, two verses, four, you know, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, this is not just, a reality, but this is actually a physical demonstration. Are you following me? This is show to us or to anybody that he loves us to the point of going through that what happened to Jesus, giving his own son for you. Okay, that should be very clear for us, his attitude and his goal for us. He gives up everything in the relationship you have with the Son, you know, to be able to achieve that with us. If that's not love, I don't know what it is. Okay. So, in his interaction with us, he does things so that we get closer to him. That's always his purpose, is to direct us, is to train us, is to enable, is to show us things. Everything he does. You know, but that is often misinterpreted because we don't listen. And so he has to get our attention. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says really good, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what the Son is there whom the Father does not chasten. Okay. But, verse 8, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partaker, and applies to everybody, then you are illegitimate and not son. The idea here is telling to, you know, first of all, the word chastening sounds, you know, again, is like judgment. It's one of those things that sound negative. But actually the meaning is to train, to correct. So his intention is to train us and correct us so that we can make progress, so that we can overcome our problems. Okay? God cares enough that if he doesn't do it, and you can see so many of the people, and this is a question, you know, it's evident that are really not close to God, it looks like everything is going fine for them. It's not that God doesn't care for them. Well, actually, often it's the fact that God has given up on them and let them go on their own way without interfering with it. See, the fact, you know, God's judgment is perfect and loving. Even in the Old Testament, this is really clearly expressed in many scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all. I'm going just to take one. For example, from Psalm 103, verse 6, okay, says there, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You see, the judgment is righteous and is just. So if you are oppressed, that means, you know, that the enemy had the entrance there and he's trying to help you to overcome, to break through. Hallelujah. You see, God's judgment and justice include, you know, a righteous judgment, taking into consideration not just the negative on the mistake you made, but also the good things you had done. See, he looked at the whole thing. God doesn't just look at some part of the story of your life. He looks at the whole thing, the way things progress. He understands why things went in a certain way. And the decision each decision you made, he knows. He can judge your situation better than you yourself can judge it. And he does it from an attitude of wanting to help you. Are you following me? Okay. He does everything he can to help you to overcome so that he can bless you. Hallelujah. Even the temptation that you have are controlled by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says very clear, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. Like happened to everybody. You see, this rule applies to everybody. Okay. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Hallelujah. So he knows what you can overcome and not. And he knows it's more than that. But with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape. So if you go to him, if you connect with him, he's going to show you exactly what you have to do. Because he cares, because he wants to help you, because he wants to give you the victory. Okay? He even stop Satan from doing the things that you like to do because he has the right to do it because you probably messed up someplace. Hallelujah. See, many other scriptures, again, going back to Psalm 103, verse 8, says, you know, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. That means, you know, that he goes beyond what is necessary. He goes beyond what you even would think. Often that actually does. When you realize that, you're really going to be completely taken and grateful for that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Verse 10 two verses after. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Praise God. nor punished us according to our iniquities. But that shows exactly the position, the way he deals with us, that we have to be grateful for the way he actually operates, deal with us, because this goes beyond what we deserve. That's what grace is. That's why what he wants to do. He wants to connect with us through his grace, which is giving us really what we don't deserve. But that doesn't mean that that's a gift given to us to enable us to overcome. That's the way out. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. He is the way. He is the deliverer. He is the helper. He is the savior. He is the healer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, talks about, you know, us responding to his love. It says there, you see, because of demonstrating this love that he has for us, there it says, oh, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead us to repentance. You see, when we realize, when we come in contact, when we can start seeing his goodness, then we are going to respond to his love. Hallelujah. And we take the position, the breakthrough. Okay. So, in any cases, what you need, you can get help from God anytime, no matter what the situation is, even if you are stuck after you prayed. Because he has another way all the time to give to you. Hallelujah. And it's clearly indicated with, in the word, with, for example, the scripture from James that we started to read before as well. Okay. This is saying there, James chapter 5, verse 14 says very clearly, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So you see, this is really when you cannot do it yourself, because you should have prayed for yourself first. Okay? And then, but even when you don't get anywhere, he provided an opening, that's why the body works. And he says to go to the elder and pray, and pray over him. Pray for him. Okay? The prayer of faith that he pray. Okay? It's a prayer that is, made in alignment with the name of the Lord. Okay? Let me show a parallel here. Okay? Praying in the name of the Lord, the parallel is to think about a policeman. A policeman goes, enforces the law, and says, in the name of the law, you better obey, and even if he doesn't say, that's the way, the authority according to which he works. But there is an important point there. That if he go around saying the name of the law, and does something that is contrary to the law, first of all, he doesn't have an authority, but second, actually, he commit a crime. So, let's bring the parallel on a spiritual level. If we do the same, there is no difference, we get in trouble. We are not anymore with any support from what our prayer we say, but even words, we are actually fooling ourselves and getting nowhere. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, this is logical. Okay, so we have to make sure when we go and pray in the name of the Lord that we actually align ourselves up, at least for what we understand, and we may not understand sometimes things. But the thing we do not understand is a different, we are not a fault. We are not taking, a fault for that. Okay, so. But that is why he says, go and ask to your friends what to do. Go and for your friend to pray for them. He says, go to the elders. Why? Because the elders should know and should be able to minister to you and help you to be in that position, because otherwise it's not because somebody has the power and is going to, it's not his power. People think, you know, because you go to somebody, pray for them, and you're going to get it. If you're misaligned, you're not going to get it, period. So the implication there, you know, prayer is not magic. It's a spiritual thing that happens at the spiritual level that should be in spirit and in truth. Are you following what I'm saying? God, you can't fool God just because you go and get somebody to pray for you. Praise God. You know, some people think, you know, praying is like a magic wand. And, you know, so you go to somebody that you think has the power and you get it. Doesn't work that way. There should be, you see, when you pray in the name of the Lord, what you're doing is you go according to the new covenant that is established by Jesus. It has to be in according to what he taught, in accordance to what, you know, is the requirement for that, the alignment with him, his teaching, his commandments. Hallelujah. So that's something that is clear. See, praying for people is more than just pray. You know, sometimes you had to minister to the person. You had to help them to see and seek within themselves if there are things that are blocking the thing. Otherwise, you would have prayed. You can pray the prayer of faith by yourself without any help. But, you know, if you need help, get help to be able to deal with the issues that you have not been dealing with. Okay. Pray over you, anointing with oil, you know, really is not the physical part that is important. It's what actually spiritually happens. What is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. There is no power in the flesh. Doesn't matter how much you jump, scream, and yell, or whatever, you know, that does not impress God. The way that impresses God is really the fact that you connect with him. And as you connect with him, and you learn to connect even more with him, you seek that connection, that relationship with him. That is where things start to happen. That's where your understanding is going to grow. That's where you are going to start getting answers that you didn't get before. This is really what makes all the difference. This is why God wants a relationship with us. You know, he doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to be connected with him. Hallelujah. And then goes on and see, you know, what should we expect for going to God? Okay. But going to God how? With the prayer of faith, in faith. And we are going to expand on that because there is a cloud of witness for us to show it. And we are going to go right there with them. Okay. Now, you know, it says in verse 15 of James chapter 5 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So, you know, that means healing. And the Lord will raise him up. That means if you are weak, you're going to give us strength. Okay? And if he has committed sin, if there is anything like that, because, you know, these are going to be taken care of, but they will be forgiven. You know, it's not just because somebody prayed the prayer of faith that you are forgiven. If you are forgiven, there is only one way for you to be forgiven. And the way is written in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. Unless you repent, there is no forgiveness. Sorry, doesn't matter how much people can pray on you until you lose your, you know, laying hands on your head, until you lose all the air, nothing is going to happen. Are you following me? You see, the principle that God works by are quite there and in the Bible, and they're very clear. And we have to just because you read this verse and you use only one verse and not the other, you're not going to get anything because you are not in the truth. You are going to be just what you want, what you prefer. Praise the Lord. God wants to bless you. I have no question about that. That is his nature. He's good God. Hallelujah. And he, at this time of this dispensation, is wanting everybody to be saved. Is everybody saved? No. Why? Is God's fault or is it our fault if we are not saved? See, but we, you know, but the false idea is other, you know, when you're saved, everything is done. It's not done. That's at the beginning when you accept Jesus, you connect with him and he started to work in you. Our salvation is going to be fully demonstrated when all of his glory is going to be on us. Read chapter 5 of Romans again. Okay, that's our hope. Something coming. That is complete deliverance, complete freedom. And the process now that what we are in is in the process of getting it. And that's why God wants that relationship with us so that we keep moving. That's why I think, you know, journaling is a really good thing because, you know, allows you to focus on what he's doing at this moment without forgetting it, without connecting with him, enabling you to actually pick up the things that you had to remember and focus on that. You see, helps you to keep being focused instead of being spread all over the things that the world is distracting you. That's the enemy that distracts people. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the prayer of faith, okay, is a prayer that meets the new covenant conditions. Okay, you trust God because you know that he wants to bless you. See, when you know that God wants to bless you, there is no reason that you don't trust him about his decisions. But if you don't know that, if you think like all the religion that the gods are after you and you have to appease them, you know, that's not Christianity. That's paganism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, but some Christians carry on these ideas from the past without having really appreciated what Jesus demonstrated to us. And because he has demonstrated to us, we should be responding to that. And his goodness, you know, that he exercised toward us in blessing us even when we, you know, sometimes do a little things of obedience, you know, should show us how much he loves us. Hallelujah. Okay. Says, you know, save us. It really implies, says, you know, deliver, protect, make whole. Fix the problem that you are going through or the temptation or the things. Okay. Praise the Lord. And even can clean up the sins that you forgive, that you made, okay, because you are forgiven. Hallelujah. See, the purpose of our test of your faith is to perfect you. Hallelujah. And that perfection, you know, is because we sometimes are blind and we don't see it and we are caught up in other things. We have idols in our lives. We need to do that. Okay. Something is missing when we go through things, with tests and so on. But it's not God, it's us. And so we had to take the responsibility that is associated with the victory that is going to come. God is a good God. We had to get that in our head and in our heart. Hallelujah. And we don't know all the things. And that's the problem. Okay. That's why in James 1 talk about counting all joy when you go through the different temptation, you know, because the testing of your faith produces patience. And patience that has done its perfect work, you know, you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing in James 1, 2 and 3 and 4. Hallelujah. So embrace and trust God. Righteous judgment about from the things you're going through. God's plan is perfect to help you and to complete you. Listen to him and he will guide you. And you know, that's why, you know, the prayer that Jesus did on Gethsemane and, you know, we should do often is not a prayer that kills the faith, which is, you know, your will be done. No, that's a prayer that shows that you are really trusting him and you have faith, because having faith is trusting God, period. It's not trying to get what you want, it's trying to, knowing that God wants more than you do to give you what you need. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Lord cares and wants you to overcome. Praise the Lord. You see, we read the scripture on, you know, Psalm 103, verse 6, you know, that execute righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. So he's there, you know, he's there trying to help you in your problems even. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says something that should help us to understand. Says, therefore, we also. I mean, this chapter here actually is very interesting because lots of people end up at the end and they say, oh, that doesn't look very good. Instead, it's really good. Says here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. So the witness there, you know, are people that are really being able to overcome. Those are the witnesses. The one, the word there is martyrs, and in this case, you know, the word martyrs even come, you know, that really shows one thing. Are people that believe that God is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and they seek him to the point even of going through anything that would happen to them. They didn't give up. You know, the song that we were singing today, you know, I shall not be moved. They were not moved. And this is the place that we have to learn to be. Hallelujah. And then gives example. Right in the previous chapter about that. You know, he's talking about these witnesses. Who are they? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so on and so forth. These are people that knew God, and God worked in their life and did supernatural stuff. These are our witnesses. This is the three people we had to look at and see, you know, the way it works. You know, they didn't, it's not that they didn't have problem. They overcame. But, you know, after the fact that they overcame, you read at the end of the chapters, and I don't have the verse here, you know, it says, but they didn't get the answer for them. What do you mean? They got the help, the miracles. What is he talking about? The same thing that we have. We, no matter how much we get victory, now the only time we're going to have the victory is when we get them with them when Jesus comes back. That's the answer. That's the, you know, it's the full deliverance from the result of sin in the world. And that's what they were looking at. They weren't looking at the things that were happening at the moment. They were just looking at that. And to give us an example, just at the beginning, you know, in chapter 12, verse 2, so it shows us the same example that was demonstrated in Jesus. Jesus is the only one that got almost complete victory. I say almost, because we have not the full manifestation yet. But for himself, he has the full victory, because he's seated at the right hand of the Father in, you know, with his power and his glory. He's the only one that got to that point. But he did that so that we can get to that point as we hold fast to our faith, as we hold fast to our hope. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, the hope that we have is, you know, that motivates us, that enables us to, you know, trust God, is the fact that that's going to come as you hold on to him, as we allow him to minister to us, as we walk in his ways. That's what all the witnesses did. Because they weren't going by the physical, they were going from the things that was coming. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? We had to really start thinking that way. Hallelujah. Endurance is the thing. You know, endurance, it says there, you know, run with endurance the race that set before you. The word there actually means in Greek, you know, cheerful, hopeful, patience, or expectations. That's what it means. That means if you are complaining, you are not endurance. Okay, so we can learn from our attitude, for our position, where we really are in this process and how much we are really connected with him. He wants us to be connected with him, because that's what they did in the Old Testament, all the witnesses, and that's what Jesus did himself. Hallelujah. And this is why in verse 2 of chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is the way we get faith. Okay, doing what? Looking at him, learning from him, learning from all the other witnesses, but including Jesus. And he's probably the best anyway. Okay, not probably. He's certainly the best. Okay, so in this says, you know, for the joy that was set before him, that was his resurrection, the going to be the next to the Father. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, he just was able to say, God, you know, Father, you know, your will be done. You see, that was his prayer of faith. That was completely his prayer of faith, no matter what people preach today. They say, you know, that's killing your faith. Nonsense. Killing your faith if you don't know God. Because your faith has nothing to do with what you believe, has to do with trusting God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. The joy is set before you. That means you are not looking at the physical. You are not looking at the situation. You are looking at him, and you're looking at his promise, and you're looking at what he has done, and you're looking at what he's like, his name. Hallelujah. You see, the thing is, as you learn to do that, you experience God help, God love, an ongoing matter, and your trust for him increases. Each time you experience that, you know, trust comes as a result of experience. You know that you can believe it. You know that it's true. It doesn't matter what's going on, you know that you can trust God. And the more he proves himself, and one of the words that they talk about God all the time, he is faithful. The more you realize how faithful he is, then you are going to be loving more and more him, being more and more trusting him. You see, some people say, you know, I have a problem trusting God. Well, the only thing that they are saying, I don't know God. Because if you know God, you will trust him. Because if there is anybody trustworthy, it's him, no one else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, we can really come to the place in which our faith is strong because we can look at the spiritual, what God is like, and we can trust him with all our heart. And the way he deals with us is the way he deals with the people in the Old Testament. They went through lots of things in their life, and they overcame, and they kept overcoming. I'm taking, for example, Joseph, an example. You know, he had a relationship with God. You know, God revealed to him stuff. You know, there was pretty exciting, but he was too naive and go around telling everybody and produce the problem, and they were trying to kill him. See, but he grew up in the process, and when he was put in the temptation with the wife of his boss, he just ran. He was smart enough to know what to do. He had the wisdom to know what to do. Lots of people, you know, get distracted because they are caught up. Even David got caught up by the things he saw. Instead of really remembering and focusing on the right thing, we can be distracted. So we could, you know, you cannot trust your faith. You cannot trust your strength. You cannot trust your ability. You can only trust God. You are not required to trust yourself. If you trust yourself, you are in trouble. Praise the Lord. No, we can say hallelujah because I don't need to do that. Jesus didn't trust himself. Why you say that? Because he said, in myself, I can do nothing. He didn't say it once, he said it two. And finally, when in Gethsemane, he said, you know, if you can take it away, you know, but your will be done. So he submitted himself. As we submit ourselves to God, God's power is working in us because it's not our strength operating anymore. It's his strength. And that's supernatural, not you're trying to work it out in your emotions. Your emotions become secondary. They become a distraction because they go up and down and sideways in all the direction that you want. That's not the way to be stable. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something here? Okay? Our relationship with God is to establish us in knowing him, in connecting with him. We have to spend time with a person to trust that person. He has to prove himself to us or herself. But once he's proved, you know, we have something solid to go on. Because there was a little history. God wants to build up a history of witnesses that in the past and in ourselves, in our own life, to overcome. So that it doesn't matter what comes around. No matter what the trouble you put yourself in, he's going to take you out. Because you trust him more than the situation. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that I said before, count it all joy when you're going to end. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says the same thing. Okay? Through whom, through Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay? Grace is something that we can stand on. We are there and we are stable on it. We are not moving around. I will not be moved. I can be connected with his grace all the time because I trust him. And because I trust him, what happens? One of the things that happen is, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, one of the results is that we are going to be rejoicing. We are not going to be complaining. You know, that's why I said, you know, be content of every all your situation. Okay, that's what the demonstration that we are actually connected. Doesn't matter what's going on, you shall not be moved. I think this is a good place to stop. Amen? Are you following what I'm trying to communicate? This is why I started this journaling thing. Because it's going to help you actually to achieve that. You know, it's a walk. It's not lots of different unconnected experiences. It's one after the others. As you keep focused on the right thing, as you keep focused on the spiritual thing instead of the physical things. And your hope gets stronger, your faith is unmoved, because it doesn't look at what you have or don't have, it looks at Him who is the provider. Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Okay? Let's connect with Him the way He is. Let's trust Him. He is the answer to all our problems. And His love is abundant, is overflowing, is bigger than what we deserve. That's why His grace is there. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. Thank You that we can come to You no matter what's going on in our life. You are there. You are faithful. You are good. And You want to help us. Set us free. Train us. Teach us. Make us an overcomer. Thank You for everything You have done through Jesus and through everything else that happened. Because we understand it, accept it, and love You back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.